The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We got this game. We got this game coming up in a week now that feels like a must win because that is a bad Saints team that doesn't have a head coach anymore. But we got this weekend. We got a weekend to relax, and now we got Jason Pinkston joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Pink, welcome to the show.
How you doing, fellas?
We're doing well, buddy. How are you spending your bye week? Are you going to be you're still looking around the rest of the NFL? Or like the Browns, will you take this Sunday off because there's no game unlike the other Sundays they took off?
Well, you know, I'm going to watch some football, obviously, but my wife has a list of Christmas decorations that I'll be pulling out of the basement, and she's going to be decorating. She's an early decorator, so we'll have our trees and everything up, and they'll probably won't come down till January or so. So just looking at Christmas stuff all weekend.
You might want to have said that any other way, but like a hostage.
I'm a hostage this weekend. Yes, I am a hostage.
Let me ask you, what are you watching for the rest of the season when they do get back in play? What are you actually watching for?
You know what? After last week's game, you know, it was very, very hard to watch, you know, seeing it live and just to see how we regressed from one week to the next. It just was mind-blowing for me. I'm hoping just to see a competitive team. I just want to see everyone get through these games healthy and see if we can pull some wins together to finish off the year, you know, maybe try some other people at positions and give them a shot. Just hoping anything but last week will be a positive for me. Anything.
So, do you think this is a one season of medicine the Browns have to take, or do you think this could extend into two, meaning next year as well?
You know, I'm so unsure. You know, we look at our quarterback situation, and obviously Deshaun is out for another year, and who knows when he'll be ready to join us back in camp, or, you know, maybe he's going to miss a full off season here again. And you know, you kind of starting all over at that position again. And there's definitely going to be some changes personnel wise and potentially coaching wise as well. So it just feels like we're going to have to suffer through this year and hope for the best. And I'm hoping that they don't completely blow this thing up, but you know, if they lose out and we get a top five pick, which we're heading in that direction, who knows what's going to happen? Who knows, man? It's very sad to go from last year to this year. You know, the hopes were high, and we all had admirations of seeing this team as a playoff team, which I thought they should have been again this year, and to not have that happen, and the, you know, just the mistakes, you know, the continuous mistakes, the discipline of the players, it's just not a good feeling right now.
Would you fire Kevin Stefanski or Andrew Berry?
You know, that's a tough call to make. I think it, you know, I think, you know, with obviously the quarterback situation, who made that call, Ultimately, I feel like that falls in the owner's lap, but I do feel like there someone had to convince him that it was not convince him. Obviously, he makes the final decision, but you know, I feel like he, you know, someone in that organization, obviously, you know, Mr. Haslam made the call. Hey, this is going to be our quarterback, and this is who you're playing, and this is who you're sticking with. And you know, I don't know if we can put all the blame on Coach Stefanski. I mean, he's definitely part of it. I'm sure Andrew Berry, you know, he holds some of that weight too. So, you know, I don't know how that would look if they came and fired both of those guys, because ultimately the decision is made by the owner in a situation like that where you're going to pay that type of player who had, you know, some of the off-the-field issues, and you pay that guy that type of money, that lands at the feet of the owner.
Pink, what is it going to take to get this O-line back to where they were about, oh, I don't know, three seasons ago?
You know what? I think, you know, we're really going to have to really look at that group of guys and make some very tough decisions. I don't think, you know, Jed will be back with us next year. And who knows with Betonio. I mean, he's playing good football, but I, if I'm not mistaken, this is year 11 or 12 for him. And then, you know, some other guys were banged up and that, you know, have come back. But I definitely think, you know, throughout the draft and throughout the free agency that we're going to have to make a move there to add some people to get them back to where they were. And, you know, the philosophy, I'm not sure the philosophy of the new coach that we have, but clearly it's a little bit different from what we've had in the past. And that's okay. We just got to move forward and put the guys in the right position. And, you know, I think Darwin Jones is actually doing a fairly nice job at playing left tackle right now for us, and that was a little bit of a surprise for me, but I thought he's doing a nice job versus Baltimore versus the Chargers. So
let me ask you, do you feel like this team is more than just a quarterback away?
You know, right now it does. It does kind of feel like that. You know, obviously Nick's coming back from an injury, and our defense is clearly not where it was, you know, last year when I thought they were, obviously they clearly were one of the best defenses in the National Football League. I think we are a wide receiver or two, and, you know, a couple more D-backs and a D-lineman away from being who we want to be, and obviously cleaning up the issues on the offense as well.
Pink, I got to ask you here. Last night, Thursday Night Football, did you get a chance to watch the end of that game?
I did. Fantastic game.
So we're actually in agreement here about going for two with 30 seconds down, or sorry, with 30 seconds left, and you know, you can tie the game with the extra point and go to overtime. We think it makes more sense considering you're the lesser team, you're on the road to try and go for the win there. They obviously didn't get it. They lost the game. Did you agree that with the Zach Taylor decision to go for two there and try and take the game?
Yeah, you know, I understood why he did that. I felt like he didn't think he was going to be able to stop Lamar. You know, Lamar kind of started to heat up there at the end. I don't mind the decision. You're going for it. I just didn't really like the play call. I think I don't care where that ball goes to, but it has to go to Ja'Marr Chase. You have to give him a shot. I mean, that guy, what he did last night was unbelievable. He is no doubt a top five wide receiver in this league. And, you know, he's going to be closer to that one or two spot. Obviously there's Justin Jefferson. That guy is outstanding football player. I think that ball has to be thrown his direction no matter what. I don't mind that call. You know, they're in Baltimore. You're on the road. You know, you got some momentum there. You threw a nice touchdown pass, whether Baltimore had a mental error or not. I mean, it was, you know, he went for it, and it just didn't work out their way. And I thought the refs missed a defensive holding and, a face mask on Joe Burrow as well.
How hard is it for the refs in that moment to swallow the whistle? I was thinking it was kind of like a buzzer beater play in basketball at the very end. You just don't see it often called. Even if it should be called, you just don't see it often called.
Yeah, you know, that's tough for the refs. You know, they're trying to watch everything, and it's like sometimes like you're so focused on, you know, watching the play happen and making sure no one jumped off sides and the play clock and this and that, and that, you know, they just missed it. But I thought the hold would have been called, and not so much the face mask penalty, because you kind of can't see it from where they were standing at. But the hold was, I mean, it was very blatant. I'm sure if that game was in Kansas City and there was a different quarterback throwing that ball, that would have maybe been called.
Pink, I'm asking this because you're in enemy territory. With the way Russ is playing, are the Steelers going to win this division this year?
You know what? I think they have a really good shot, and it pains me to say that. It really, really does. You know, I think it's obviously going to come down to Baltimore and Pittsburgh. I think they have a fairly good opportunity to win that. I don't think Baltimore's defense, their back end is not clicking as normal as they normally look out there. You know, then Kyle Hamilton going down, who knows how long he's going to be out for, but this is going to be a hard stretch for, you know, every team in AFC North coming down to it, because it's pretty much all division games from here on out, and you got to win them. And they only remember what you do in November and December here. So this is, it'll be interesting to see. They added another piece with Mike Williams, who I think is still a capable receiver, as Mike Tomlin would say. He's capable. But I don't think he's a world beater. But I honestly think Baltimore may come out with it. Lamar Jackson is playing some special football right now.
How did Lamar – I mean, it's incredible what he does. When you watch him versus Burrow last night, you're seeing in the pocket plays, not just what we've always known about Lamar with his out-of-pocket presence, but in the pocket, you're like, he goes throw for throw with Burrow. It's incredible how he's taken the hard road to get there, but he's gotten there as a pure passer.
Yes, he is really, really stepped his game up. His balls were very, very nice touch on them, making good plays, very accurate. I mean, that play, that one he scrambled on at the end of the, I think it was somewhere near the fours, where he got away from three Baltimore defenders and ran it all the way down to the 1 yard line. That play was unbelievable. That could have went down. If he scores a touchdown there, I think that could go down for play of the year, along with that, you know, that leap that Saquon made last week. I mean, he's just playing incredible football.
Pink, I don't know where I was going with that. Jason Pinkston on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. See, Pink, when I screw up like that, I just throw it out to the hotline there, and we all feel better about ourselves. do you draft a quarterback next year, I think, is the number one thing. How are you feeling about that?
I think you have to, you know, just in case. You don't know what's going to happen. I would hope they don't reach for a quarterback and take one super early, but I think you get one at some point in time throughout the draft. You know, someone who's is that can sit on the bench and maybe learn and not have to be, you know, forced into action right now. It seems more so in the last couple of years, these young quarterbacks are more so being thrusted in there and have to perform, and it's just not working out for them as much as you would like it to. I mean, you look at Bryce Young down in Carolina. I think Bryce Young is a very good young quarterback, but he's thrust in there on a very bad team, and he's just, you know, it's not going well. Maybe they can get somebody who can sit on the bench and learn and really learn the offense and learn his team and make some of the good throws and maybe we can turn this thing around. But I think we will have to get one in the draft for sure.
Pink, great stuff as always, buddy. Enjoy the Christmas season, getting into that right now, and really appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Have a good weekend.
Jason Pinkston there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Former Browns offensive lineman Jason Pinkston joining us in the last segment. Do you think the Browns will try and spin it that way?
Spin it that it's like it's just too hard to fire them both?
No. That Jimmy will come out and say, whether this is true or not, the Morning Boys, Mona Boys, have said that Jimmy had to be talked into moving on from Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, which, so, by the way, if the Morning Boys are doing that, that means they're already trying to do something, right?
I would imagine that,
like, the wheels are already probably in motion. I don't think, I mean, if you believe what the Morning Boys have said, and make that up out of thin air.
Yeah, but I don't know that that's necessary. I don't know necessarily where would they be getting that from. They've been saying it for a while, so that's not just a new thing they've been saying. But yeah, I mean, if Jimmy Haslam came out and said, hey guys, my bad, I'm going to make up for my boo-boo, I talked these guys into it, do you think that's enough for Browns fans? Him owning it publicly, saying this didn't work out, it falls at my feet, I made the decision, and I'm now going to let Andrew and Kevin do their thing. Paul DePodesta's over in finance, or yeah, maybe marketing, maybe I don't know. He's got really great hair, and he's, you know, very athletic. Maybe he's really teaching like a spin class or something.
Got a bad look from Jonah in his portrayal in Moneyball.
Why is that? Because Jonah Hill had a weight problem at the time.
Yeah, okay. That did not reflect what Paul DePodesta looks like as a human right now.
I think that's that was Peter Brand. It was not Paul DePodesta.
Yeah, that's why they couldn't do the exact it's actually Paul DePodesta.
But do you think if Haslam came out, how many people do you think would take that? Because I actually think Browns fans would feel better if it was Jimmy. If we couldn't
feel better about Barry, better about everyone, better about the whole situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Jimmy might be too prideful to ever do that, though. Like, the odds of this actually happening, I'll answer the question, I will, but, like, the odds of it actually happening, I think both of us would put it, like, 1%. Is that fair?
No, I'd put it, like, 10%.
10%, okay. So a very minimal, tiny amount of percentage chance that Jimmy Haslam holds a big press conference and is like, this is how it went down. I called. I fell out of love with Baker Mayfield. I didn't. He just wasn't my guy anymore. I got the chance to get after Deshaun Watson. It never happens in the NFL. And I alone jumped.
I'm just going to say, if you want, because we've never had to play that card yet. If you played that card, I think there would be people in town who ran with it.
I think it would make sense for a lot of people. I think a lot of the math would be mathing, right? I think the 1 + 1 = 2 would be accurate if that's how it went down. Because that's how I think of a lot of us in our minds for years played with that being the understanding, that the owner, like in most NFL franchises, gets the final say. And we also do think of Barry and Stefanski in this elevated way. And that was not, I mean, listen, I defended the move at the time. I defended it because we thought Deshaun Watson would be much better than he was. So it wasn't like a bird brain decision to think that two smart people could come to the conclusion that acquiring Deshaun Watson is a bad thing to do. I don't think we're going to get that from Haslam. I don't. And I agree with you in that I think that would help people. It would help the fans. And so if he's got to fall on the sword for that, I just don't know. I think he's too prideful to do that.
I think it's the only way he cannot fire one of those guys. If they really think they can just move on from Deshaun in whatever way they do it this year and reposition Paul DePodesta, if they really think that's going to cure the bloodlust in this town, man, are you guys off base?
From a Jimmy Haslam perspective, I already look at that as the most important and the biggest decision he's made his time as owner of the Browns, and it's going to be the thing that he's remembered the most from, unless he wins a Super Bowl in the next 20, 25, 30. I mean, it's going to be like that. It's going to be it for him in many ways. And so if he comes out and says it like full blow, that was me, 100%, that was on me. I mean, that just, it stamps it down, and I just think he's too prideful to do that. I think he loves the ambiguity of it all. I think he loves the muddiness of it all, and I think he loves the murkiness attached to all of it, where no one can specifically say that's 100% your call.
I would be imagined if any of those guys loved any of this. Because here's the thing, that what we're talking, I mean, they've admitted, I mean, they have not admitted, but they have shown their willingness to lie, to appease, or they're a lie to, because it's the only thing they had, specifically the Deshaun thing.
Yeah.
Like, they've shown that they don't care about putting an honest foot forward at every point in terms of their messaging. It's not like lying to the American people, but they've shown that they do not value honesty with their fans. And I think with the way that Browns fans react, I think that kind of can make some sense. That, you know, they try really hard to please their fans, and they don't want to upset their fans. But this is the thing. If Jimmy doesn't take that fall, then somebody else has to. And I just think that's just a matter of, like, obvious here. I don't think that it would matter as much to him if he came out and was just like, yep, it was me. I'm sorry, guys. Man, did I get that bad. And I'm going to make it better by letting football people do their jobs because I have hamstrung them. And if he just played the fool. Like, I think in the end, what he understands is if he were a meat shield for his own organization. And again, I don't think it's true because I don't think Stefanski and Barry deserve a pass for this because I think they were willing participants. And I think they were guys pushing for this trade.
Yeah.
Whether Jimmy said, candidly, let's do it, or not, doesn't matter to me. Like, the fact is, those dudes wanted this. And so, for me, it won't work. But, man, I can understand the thought of, well, the fans don't like me anyway. I'm sorry. No, that's not fair.
But if you do, I mean, you're never going to get them to turn around and like you if that's the case.
Well,
though.
No. Yes, you will. You win. It's the simplest thing.
Yeah, that's easier said than done, obviously, though. Like, well, there's no guarantee he can ever actually provide a winner. So, like, he might just be cementing what it is.
Fans don't like the Dolans, and it doesn't matter a damn thing to them. Like, well, okay, actually, it does matter a damn thing to them. It won't matter to the Browns. The people that didn't like Jimmy before this trade probably aren't going to like Jimmy going forward.
You said easiest thing to do was win. Dolans win all the time, and it doesn't change people's perception.
Yeah, but the Guardians aren't the Browns. This is, I mean, maybe this is changing because of this absolute blight on the Browns organization and the whatever legacy there is for the Browns anymore now that the last two ownership groups have you would think Art Modell would have done the worst to this brand. Nay. Both ownership groups have just continued to just pummel what was once a proud brand and logo. Not logos, but like people thought a lot about the Cleveland Browns. You should have been here in 99 and 2005 when people would come here and be like, I want to be a part of reinvigorating the Browns, because when I was a kid, the Browns were, that meant something. It doesn't mean a damn thing anymore.
Yeah.
But if you're going, I actually think there's some genius to this. I personally will not take it, but if
Haslam came out and came clean?
Yeah, no. If you, because I think in this case he'd be,
you think he'd be lying?
I think he'd be being moderately dishonest about how this whole thing went down.
Okay,
but I think because fans blame him no matter what, I think it's the easiest win. If you want to keep Barry and Stefanski, I will call it out. Is the dishonesty that I think it is, but in a way I kind of see the genius of it.
Never gonna happen. It's never going to happen.
I think you're putting too much on Jimmy.
He's not going to fall on the sword.
But why? What?
I think he's too prideful of a person. I don't think he's given me no reason to believe that he would ever be like, hand up, that's on me, guy. I've never seen him do it.
Yeah, because
I've never seen him do it.
Because he never traded for Deshaun Watson before this moment.
I'm with the idea unprecedented times can give unprecedented results, unprecedented actions, all these. I'll play with you there. I've just never seen him act that way. I just don't see that happening. I don't. Now, like he's weighing the idea of his legacy being burned for a very long time with the idea that he actually is convinced that Stefanski and Barry are the right answer.
His legacy is the building that they're going to build in Brook Park. His legacy is more than just the Deshaun trade. Long term, that's what he's banking. Well, that's what you have to bank on. He's not going into this thinking, well, I'm never going to win, so I shouldn't take the fall for this.
No, it's not that, but he's really going to bat for Stefanski and Barry in this way, and I don't even know. First off, I don't know that it's going to clear anyone of anything if he came out and said it that way. I'm happy that you would have your opinion changed a little bit, it sounds like, of Barry and Stefanski, if that was the case, though.
No, not for me. I'm talking about the average fans out there who already put it. Like, how many calls do we get a day, a week, of people being like, well, I'll tell you what, whose fault this is. It's Jimmy Haslam.
Yeah, I think big picture, I don't know that it changes a ton for all of us if we actually found out the real answer, because I think we believe what we believe already.
I think you continue to think what's true and what's not true.
No, I have no idea what's true. No one knows what's true. That's the interesting part about all this.
But again, you have to, as an organization, you have to have an exit plan and an explanation and a PR spin on the show. You can't just say, well, the thing that made you mad is gone now, so, hey, let's go draft Carson Beck. No, that's not how this works.
No, but there's a lot of people that are like myself, Nick, that I don't blame Stefanski and Barry if they nudged and said, hey, there's a guy that might be once in a lifetime with an opportunity to be traded for. Let's go get that guy. I didn't blame him then. I'm not going to blame him now.
No, you blame them for the failure. Like, you keep focusing on the beginning of this.
That's what you want him to admit. You want him to admit that it was his call.
Yes. No, yes. Yes.
That's
exactly
what the whole basis of the conversation is.
No, he's taking the shame. Like, because somebody has to take the shame.
Well, but no one's going to buy the idea that, like, oh, well, yeah, Jimmy Haslam, you clearly didn't get Deshaun Watson to being the great quarterback we thought he was going to be.
No,
doesn't fall on the owner.
No. But the optics of the trade falling on the owner and then it failing can. I miscalculated what Deshaun was going to be after everything he went through. I miscalculated his ability to stay healthy. I do think people want accountability in this town. And I do think that if you just think like, hey, that wasn't good, and now we're going to move on. Hey, who did this? well, we did this. That will not reach in this town. I think you really have to understand that the greatest PR victory sometimes is taking an L. That's what this is about. And
But I think people know. They know in their minds. They've already made up the decisions. At least I have in my head. I know who I think was responsible for the trade. I know putting it at Haslam for the lack of development of Deshaun Watson is not something I'm going to do either. That's not on that. How's that on Jimmy Haslam?
No, you actually think about this stuff. Browns fans do not think about this the way you and I do. It's why when I'm out with family or when I was in the
Give the fans the credit enough to understand that if Haslam comes to the podium and says, me, they're not idiots. They're going to think about it the way I'm thinking about it and presenting it to you.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying they're idiots. I'm saying fans are not as critical as you and I are because their relationship to the team is different. You and I cover it every day. We live it for 25 hours a week. We live it on Sundays to a degree of we live it from whenever you go on air until whenever that game is over. The relationship is different. And fans think wildly different. Even like, all right, so P1 is the parlance of the most committed radio listeners. They don't think the way the casual fan thinks. They don't, because the casual, and when I say casual fan, I'm still talking about Browns diehards. But this, I think we're making a mistake here of thinking everybody's made up their minds. No, people like to be lied to. I think if anything, the last 15 years in this country have proven on any given point from, no matter what side of anything you're on, you just want to hear that what you believe is to be the truth. And I think there is enough people out there that blame Jimmy Haslam. That if Jimmy comes out and goes, candidly, that's all my... sorry, I have no Jimmy Haslam. We've addressed this. That's my bad. But if...
You went to Cletus Haslam there.
I did. I went to some inferior Haslam, not one of the three or four top dogs. See what I did there? But I do think there's enough people in that concentric circle, that giant circle of Browns fans, that I think if you can...
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
It's better.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
He came out and said, "Oof, boy, my bad, y'all." I think that's what they want to hear.
I think we'd still go.
That's easier.
I think you'd still go back to, "Oh, Barry can't draft," and you still go back to, "Oh, Stefanski wasn't able to manage and get him to where he needed to be." And the conversation would just go: if you don't like Stefanski, you already don't like Stefanski. If you don't like Barry, you already don't like Barry. And if you think Haslam did or didn't push it, you know what you think on these things.
216-474-0092. If Jimmy Haslam came out and said candidly, Deshaun was all my fault.
Everything's candidly.
I know, because he says candidly 17 times.
Candidly.
Would you accept that answer from the Browns organization? 92.3 The Fan. Hey, guys. Nick Wilson here for my friends at FanDuel. That's right, guys. The NBA's back, and right now FanDuel's giving everyone 3 months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do is place any $5 bet on the NBA to get 3 months of NBA League Pass, courtesy of FanDuel. If you haven't joined FanDuel yet, or if you're not on FanDuel right now, guys, what are you doing? The Cavs, They're 9-0. They've got a huge game. Cleveland, Golden State. This is going to be so much fun. You guys know, whether it's parlays, Friday first, the hump day parlay, whatever it is, I do it on FanDuel, and you can too. FanDuel.com/Wilson. Go there today. That's FanDuel.com/Wilson. Back on Afternoon Drive. We do have something we got to get to real quick here. Because I was surprised. You and I disagree on the, if Haslam comes out and says, my bad, guys, I can do better, I will do better, I will be better. I tend to think that's what people want to hear. I don't think you and I would accept it, but I think that's what people want to hear. We got some calls on this, but you and I disagree on something else that I was blown away by.
Okay.
Because there was a story I put in the DMs today, and I was thinking, like, we'll see if we have time for it today, right? We'll see how. And it was basically this, and I don't know the details beyond this. So if there's anything else, guys, I'm reading the tweet. I'm not reading the story, okay?
Okay.
But a guy by the name of Ryan Ferguson, who spent 10 years in prison, is set to receive $38 million payout after being wrongly convicted of murder. And the first comment I see in the actual DMs is, worth it, by you.
Yeah, not an accident. I'm shocked that this is not your answer.
Because it's prison.
Okay, but you, okay, it's 10 years of your life, which obviously isn't ideal and isn't great. There's no 10-year section of my life. If I plan to live to be, I don't know, 75 to 85, somewhere in that range,
yeah.
I've bumped it up a little bit. I'll take 1/8 of my life to never have to work again, never have to worry about money in any sort of way, never have to, 1/10 of my life. And oh, by the way, with prison, like, I need some of our own parameters in this. Do I go in knowing that $38 million's at the end of it for me?
No.
Or do I go in and then this is just after the fact, it is what it is?
You live it the way this man has lived it.
Okay, now that kind of, the part that stinks about it for this guy is that for a 10-year stretch, people walked around talking about him as if he was a cold-blooded murderer.
Yeah.
That stinks.
And people still might, by the way, because you know not everyone's going to hear about the wrongly convicted.
Who's reading Loud Mail and all this other nonsense that it comes from? Like, not everyone gets the word on that. Not
Daily Loud, by the way.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I like Loud Mail better. It should change the name.
I just like Loud Mail. It's like my grandpa reading the mail after
he just forgets screaming his, at you.
Ryan Ferguson! So no. It's got to be just the way that he experienced it.
Still not great, because in my world, I'm living with the idea that, like, my wife would know for 10 years I'm just gone and I'm away. But she can come and visit me, and she knows at the end of 10 years, then we're sitting on $38 million. Like, that's not a bad deal.
Yeah, no. In this scenario, she leaves you and somebody else raises your daughter.
She would clearly leave me, and she'd have no other... Although, that could be another discussion for another time.
Wait,
as well.
You think she would stick with you through wrongly convicted murder?
I would stay with her. What does that look for?
I think that look is, I don't believe you.
If she called me at 3 a.m. and said, I got in some trouble. I need some help here. I'm helping her.
Wait, you mean you're going to dispose of the body? What do you mean?
Whatever she wants. It's my wife right there.
Okay.
She wants.
Okay, so now we're saying you're an accomplice. That's different.
Yes, I'm admitting to being an accomplice on the radio right now to everyone. Yes, I would be.
You're an accomplice of love. I do like the idea. Okay.
She can murder one person, and I think I'm still with her till the end of time. I think, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but this is... So it's not the murdering that's the problem in this case. It's her going to the hoosegow... With it, because you don't go in thinking, well, 10 years from now, I'm going to walk out of here.
No, that is the problem.
It's the rest of your life.
Yeah, no, that sucks.
You think
sucks.
It's the rest of your life. So for 10 years, you're sitting in the cell thinking, I didn't do this. This is unfair. And I this is the rest of my life now. I don't think you understand how bad it is in prisons, by the way. Do you need to watch Shawshank? Because there are sections of that movie. There are sections of that movie. The detail. And by the way.
How do you think I would do in prison?
Not well. Not
Nobody
well.
Ever thinks I would do well in
no,
prison.
No, because that's not... No.
No one ever thinks I would... I would probably lay low. Or I would... I don't know. Maybe I just...
What do you
maybe
mean I you could, would lay low?
I'd lay low.
How
I wouldn't
do you
bother
lay
people.
Low in prison?
By the way, I am very persuasive when it comes to, like, don't beat me up. We can settle this. I think that would go in my favor
yes.
in prison.
In real life. Yeah. Yeah. By the way,
There's a way $38 million is a lot of money. You know how much money $38 million is?
There's a way you can be persuasive in prison.
I don't have to worry about anything for the rest of my life if I have $38 million,
okay? Let me get this out.
Not a single thought has to cross my brain for the rest of my life if I have $38
million. There is a way you can be persuasive to not get beat up in prison. And neither of us want to make that devil's trade, okay? Like, I'm just saying, yeah, there's a lot of guys that are persuasive to not get beat up in prison.
And
hard pass. Easy. Easy, Kayla. Easy.
It'd go one of two ways for me, and I think a lot of people bet on the first way instead of the second way. And I always hate how I'm a little bit. This is like people that never think I'm handy in any sort of way either. I was like, "There's no way you're doing that," and I'm like, "I can watch a YouTube video and put it together, guys. I can figure it out."
Okay, so where's the YouTube video on how
that's the handy side of things?
Candy.
That's the handy side of things, not the prison side of things, which in this discussion might go hand in hand.
Here's the thing. I look like the guy who would be good at prison.
You? Oh, yeah, I know you do. You're large.
Because I am a large man.
I'm 6'2". You guys act like I'm 5'7" all the time.
No. But you're slender. You just, there's a softness
there's
about you.
There's something about me, I know.
I'm not soft.
I'm the least threatening human to ever exist on planet Earth, apparently.
So I'm the guy who probably could just straight up eat in prison. Like, I'd have a harem, all right? I've had a couple hustles going on. I'd be doing very well.
That's it. My version of prison. I'm like a card shark almost. You know, I'm almost like, you know when Worm goes to prison in Rounders and he comes out with the ace up his sleeve tattoo, but before he leaves, he just like dumps all the cigarettes on the table because he's got just so many of them. But he's like, I'll give it back to you guys. That's me. I'm Worm. I'm Worm in Rounders. I just turned into a card shark.
I think that's what you want to be.
I gamble my way into being just like this awesome prison inmate.
You don't go into prison thinking.
And then I come out $38 million richer.
Hoping you're going to be good at prison. No, no, no. You're going to plan for it.
There's no hope here. There's no hope here.
Yeah, that's kind of the point. But you also need to prepare for the fact that prison's probably going to go as bad as it possibly can go. And that's kind of what you got to go.
I think you're underestimating how many days in a row I could eat ramen noodles. A lot of days, Nick.
Yeah,
a lot of days.
I don't think ramen's going to get you through.
A lot of days.
I'm the guy who will do well in prison, and I'm saying $38 million.
So no, you're no on $38 million.
No. No, there's no amount of money for a decade in prison when you don't know you're going to get out.
What if you're like maybe 30 years from now?
Okay.
Not that I think prison becomes a little bit easier when you're older, right? You're not trying to... You're not, you know, there's no like macho-ness attached to it all. People are like, you've seen some things. You know, they give you the benefit of the doubt a little bit.
No.
Kayla shook her head yes. No. I think that's a real thing.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think
being older in prison might be the easier way to go.
There's no easy in prison.
I like how you open this being like, have you seen enough Shawshank? Like as if you have a frame of reference that is beyond movies. I think movies have warped your brain a little bit.
And
in this.
60 Minutes. 60 Minutes has told me what happens in prison, and they're still probably only telling me, like, the better 50%.
Yeah, we both have TV shows to go off of as far as our prison experiences. Exactly. The one time in high school, I told you the story before, I think, where they took us down in Cook County. They took it down to the big prison in Chicago, right?
Yeah.
And it's a field trip, and the whole idea is that you're supposed to go to the field trip, and then they just kind of show you around the prisons. It's for, like, the good kids in class, and it is what it is. And then we go into this room, and they just start yelling incredibly loud and just really intimidating things at us, these prisoners that came out. And then this guy comes in and he sees everyone yelling and he goes, "Not this group." As if we were supposed to be like scared straight or something like that. No, we were the good kids. We weren't supposed to be scared straight. Yeah, a little bit of a mistake there.
And here's the thing. It clearly didn't work.
No, I did not get scared.
Maybe you should have been in the scared straight group.
$38 million?
Kayla, $38 million for 10 years in prison.
Come on, Kayla. Be honest about it.
Only if I knew about it.
Only
if I did.
You go in not knowing.
I'm a mom. It's a little bit different because I have.
Yeah, because I don't have kids.
Well, no, but it's a little bit different.
I think that's a little reverse misogyny. I don't know. I don't like
reverse misogyny.
The kids would have no chance without me for 10 years.
10 years, you would do horribly in prison. I'm sorry. I just was
absolutely
looking at Matt.
Not. Exactly for that reason. Absolutely not.
Yeah, JP might have a chance. Mac would have, you could say $1 billion, and I don't think it's worth it for Mac. Mac would be the bottom of the barrel in prison, and that is not where you want to be.
Oh, gee.
The 5 at 5 next on 92.3 The Fan. It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.